Good evening, I'm Matthew Symington, and welcome to this podcast for eamonmalley.com. On Monday, a controversial article appeared on the guardian.co.uk's Comment is Free section entitled Belfast's Immoral Conflict Tourism. The article questions the decency of busing inquisitive tourists around the city to make a spectacle of murals and peace walls, which are still a vivid reminder of this country's violent past and segregated present. Stating, "It is surprising that given the lack of humility in Northern Ireland's exploitation of conflict, that an advertising campaign using the language has not yet been launched," and further prosecuting that, "as a country, we have come to realise the financial gains that can be made by marketing our conflict while also exaggerating the stability of Northern Ireland." Drawing attention to First Minister Peter Robinson's description of the Maze Prison redevelopment as a mecca for tourists, the article concludes, "It seems to me that aspects of the current rebranding of Belfast are not only highly immoral, but also detract from the reality and the severity of our history. We don't need the exploitation of our conflict." The author of this article is not Andrew Marr, but Chris Jenkins, a graduate of politics from the University of Nottingham and a community engagement officer in Belfast who has previously worked in Uganda. Chris joins me today. Chris, can you explain to me what you mean when you say that Belfast's conflict tourism is immoral?
Yeah. Well, what I'm talking about in the article is this sort of phenomenon of touring companies and busing tourists and visitors from different parts of around the world into inner city Belfast areas to look at peace walls, murals, divisions that are still very present within Northern Ireland at the minute. And for me, I see that as immoral because it exploits our very difficult and troubled history to make a profit. You know, the Troubles is something that I think we as a society need to be collectively reflecting on. I think it's crucial for our reconciliation process that we do that. But the Troubles aren't something that we should be marketing. You know, at the end of the day, you're talking about money being made from human tragedy and from division. And I think as a way of dealing with our history, that's a very flawed, weak and immoral approach to take. And it's not just the financial aspects of this that I find troubling. It's also a showcasing of the communities in which our conflict took place within. You know, it's a showcasing of victims that I perceive to be very intrusive. In many ways, it's like the communities that these touring companies visit are a spectacle. You know, you've got the murals, the walls, the stories, and the communities, and they're all rolled into a package and presented as something that is an attraction. In my eyes, and for me, that's deeply immoral.
Surely these murals shouldn't be hidden. They are there. Their existence cannot be denied. So there's always going to be some infrastructure built up for people to visit them. Is there anything wrong with that, really?
Yeah, you know, I do believe that there is something wrong with that if people are visiting them in a sort of voyeuristic type way, in which it, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with murals and remembrance gardens being a critical part of our remembrance and reflection process. And I don't think that our division is something that we should hide to tourists to come into Belfast. But equally, those divisions shouldn't be marketed as an attraction in which you're bussing people into areas and you know, making sort of objectifying communities in the process.
Sure. What then is the difference for you between wealthy tourists coming to Belfast to see peace walls and to see division and to see murals, violent murals, and perhaps somebody going to a museum about slavery, or somebody going to Poland to see legacies of the Holocaust? What's the difference?
Yeah, like absolutely. This has been sort of raised to me a couple of times. People have said, well, people visit Auschwitz, and that for many people is a very positive sort of educational experience. I think our situation is different than that, because I think that it's our divisions and our conflict is not consigned to history. It's a very real and living part of everyday Belfast for a large amount of people within the city. And it's sort of what I would have already said as well. Auschwitz and, say, you know, the battlefields of North France during the World Wars and stuff.
Yes.
You know, there isn't a community attached to that now. There isn't, you know, it isn't sort of objectifying people in their, in, you know, real lives the way that I think our tourism within inner city Belfast is at the minute.
Even for Jewish people who are connected with you know, the legacy of the Holocaust, you don't think it would be painful for them?
I think that there's a significant enough time difference between the Holocaust and modern society now.
Mm-hmm.
For Jewish people looking back on the Holocaust, it must be like a horrific experience within their cultural history.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in Northern Ireland, what we have is something that is continuing. And I think that there's a real strand within Northern Ireland at the minute of sort of a paradox, in which on one hand, politicians are saying Northern Ireland is peaceful, it's stable, we're open to business, come and visit us.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, at the same time, they and, you know, private companies, touring companies and stuff, are highlighting at every opportunity the conflicts and the division to try and bring money in at the same time. There's a bit of a paradox there. Our conflict, without a doubt, look, you know, compared to 15 years ago, our conflict, we've moved on fantastically. We've progressed, you know, in ways that I'm sure 15 years ago people wouldn't think would have been possible. But our conflict isn't over, I don't believe, anyway. There is still enough of dissent within Northern Ireland that it is ongoing.
Yeah.
And that's where I think it's sort of different than things sort of historical like Auschwitz and the Holocaust.
Is there anything to be said if this is a conflict which is still ongoing in some circles, for the revenue that is raised? Is there anything to be said for the boost to the local economy, even if it is based on something you consider to be immoral?
Well, I question how much it does boost the local economy. I don't really see how the money that from touring companies will filter down to, say, the Shankill Road or the Falls Road. People are bussed into those areas and almost immediately they get off at the walls and they have a quick look around and then they're back on the bus and they're bussed out. And I wonder how much of that really financially filters down. And
sure.
In terms of this conflict resolution centre that Peter Robson has outlined, you know, at 20 million, I don't know. I don't know enough about their projections of how much income that'll bring in. But again, will it filter down to the communities that have been really affected by our conflict?
Well, I mean, it's a good question, but surely it benefits somebody. This infrastructure, which is what you seem to think it is, has to employ some people, whether it be in terms of tour guides, in terms of bus drivers, in terms of taxi drivers. You know, somebody is likely to benefit from this in terms of their job, at least.
Yeah, you're right. There are people that benefit from it, but in my eyes, it's not something that we should be promoting. You know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and I've sort of been mulling over this quite a lot over the last couple of weeks, whether our brand of conflict tourism actually is entrenching division or not.
Right. That's an interesting question. That's something I wanted to get onto, actually. Is that what you think?
Whether it entrenches it or not is debatable. I think it definitely maintains it.
Right.
You know, people are benefiting from the division and the legacy of violence. It makes logical sense for them to oppose removing of those barriers and those divisions.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
like,
I see what you mean.
For example, say the division wall on Bombay Street, which is one of the most visited walls in the city. If that was removed, the amount of people who would lose out financially because of that is significant. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that wall isn't being removed because of touring companies and because of politicians. That wall is in place because the communities in that area still want that wall in place. So I'm not trying to say that. But there's a lot of people that benefit greatly from a segregated Northern Ireland. And I could be way off base in this. This is just a personal reflection. But I think that there is an element of our conflict tourism that takes pride in what has happened in Northern Ireland. And I think that's wrong. I think that there is our legacy and the things that happened in Northern Ireland should be something that we should treat with a degree of shame, I think. But I genuinely think that there's part of the conflict tourism which is builds up identity, builds up, you know, opposing identities through the promotion of conflict. And I just wonder as well, what are the knock-on effects of that? You know, if you've got conflict constantly in the faces of a younger generation, you're constantly showcasing that conflict to young people. How will young people react to that? You know, I think in many ways we've got a young population in Northern Ireland which is completely disaffected and is having an identity crisis. Mm-hmm. And if you push our conflict on them in a way that isn't in a reconciliatory way or a reflective way, but is in a crass way, then I think that you're very likely to maintain division rather than remove it.
Yeah. I want to ask as well, I mean, is this industry really so big that it justifies what are really quite vehement objections to it? I mean, you're damning it as immoral. Is it such a big industry that it merits that?
It's not a massive industry, no. It's a reflection on a trend within Northern Ireland, within the UK, mm-hmm. In general, in which sort of ethics are sidelined for the pursuit of profit. But I still think it's an important issue. I think without a doubt, needs more research, more consultation with people within inner class areas, and their opinions on whether they're for conflict or whether they agree with it, disagree with it, and it would be interesting to see outcomes from community. My perception is that there are a lot of people in communities that are against it and find it intrusive, but it would need a bigger piece of research than what's been done.
And I just want to ask you finally, Chris, what motivated you to write this article now? I mean, what is there anything going on now that motivated you to write this?
Look, well, you know, these are reflections that I've had for a couple of years. I went on one of the bus tours, you know, about a year and a half ago, and it's been something that I've thought about constantly. But I guess probably the catalyst for wanting to write the article was probably stuff to do with the centenary of the Titanic, and again you've got another example there in which we are commemorating something without putting the victims of a tragedy at the centre of it.
So you think it's related?
I think there's links there. You know, it's probably in terms of my thought process, it's related.
Okay, Chris, thank you very much. I think we'll leave it there. Chris Jenkins, thank you.
Thanks very much.